Brian, he's a good gun man. But you never carry a gun in your back area back here. Never.
Give him a hard time.
Anyway. Re-amplify on the broom handle. It doesn't block the bathroom door, 2x4 wood, but the broom handle is for you if he comes in to use a broom handle to whop him up good. Not just hit him once, but just keep hitting him until he isn't moving. Okay? Because if he's in your house, you can shoot him. You can beat him up with a broom handle or a 2x4 or whatever, and that's legal. Because he's in your house without your permission. And for him to be in your house, for him to sue you, he would have to show the court that you give it to him in writing. That you had permission to come in. Now, if it's family members, that's okay because they're family. But if you want to be safe, you tell ones you don't know, I have not given you written permission to come in my house. If you do, they will carry you out feet first. End the conversation. Okay, we're going to go through driving real quick. Now, how many drives your car till it's breathing fumes and you decide to get gas? My youngest son was always doing that. Silly guy. So, go ahead.
I taught my sons to do that too.
Okay. My number one point on driving safety, make sure you have a full tank of gas. Or close to it. And make sure your vehicle is in top working condition and make sure you have a spare tire. That's in there. That's, yes, sir.
Make sure your spare tire is full of air.
Now, I'm just bringing this up at our situation there in Ohio. We had some men that some of the ladies, if their car was in top working condition, we made sure that it was. Or the first thing I did at Bethany College as director of security is I set up a situation where I handpicked the guys who were good. They were my cadets. That whenever a girl was leaving, we made sure that everything in her car was okie dokie. Everything. And we made sure that they gave us where they were going, how long it would take upon arrival, and when they were going to come back home, and whether if they were not at their parents or relatives' house, we wanted to know who, address and phone number, and how long they were going to be there. And this is important. If some of the people in the church are traveling, I know if they could just let other people know if their family isn't here, where they're going, how they're going, time of departure, time of arrival, how long they're going to be there, and how they're going to get home. This young lady told me she lived in Tribune, Kansas. And Tribune is out there in no man's land. I mean, we lived out there. I worked for General Motors because I ran 7 counties in Kansas and 4 counties in Colorado for them. But praise the Lord, she gave it to Jake Johnson, one of my cadets. He kept a copy, and I kept a copy. Her dad calls. Because a lot of times, if as long as it's I called the parents, your daughter's on your way, I know she's on your way, would you please call me when she gets there? And parents love that. I said, we checked over her car, her oil's well, tires are well, everything's fine. She's got an emergency kit. If they didn't have one, we gave them one. We made sure they had blankets. They made sure they had a gallon of water. I mean, never mind. But anyway, he called. She's not here yet. Takes about 4.5 hours to get from Lynchburg to Tribune. So my friends at the Highway Patrol, I says, I know it's winter. It's blustery out there. We have a young girl who's 20. We don't know where she's at, but she should be on the highway from Great Bend to Tribune. And I get a call an hour and a half later from the highway patrolman, and he says, bless you, bud. And I said, what happened? It's the first time I've ever been hugged by someone that I pulled over to help. She got stranded because she hit some wood in the road and it took her oil pan out. And when you're out in western Kansas, hardly anybody travels those roads from 12 to 6 in the morning, unless they're drunk. So her family was so happy. We were happy. The highway patrolman got a tow truck, but he was kind enough that he took her all the rest of the way. So it was an hour out of his time. And he laughed later on. He said, I had the best homemade breakfast I ever had in my life. So there are good people out there. It's always important to let somebody know. Because if I wouldn't have known, she could have froze. Because it was like 20 degrees blowing 30 miles an hour. And you know in western Kansas, that's cold. That is cold. But anyway, also have an emergency kit in your car and make sure at the minimum it has a flashlight. Now, someone at a seminar said, bud, make sure it's a flashlight without batteries. And I thought, what? The only know that I know of a flashlight without batteries is a chargeable one, but it has batteries. The other flashlight is you plug into your lighter, but if the car ain't working, is the flashlight gonna work? No. But I thought that was kind of strange. But also, we made sure they had a reflector, jumper cables, tied down cords, a poncho, water, multi-purpose tool, a compass. People say, why a compass? Because they'll let us know where they're located. Now, getting back to multiple purpose tool, they're not that expensive. You can carry in your car. And sometimes you're in an accident, you can't get your seatbelt out. But this multi-purpose tool will slice that thing like butter, folks. It'll just, you don't have to, it'll cut that thing. Whatever you do, don't peel the blade with your fingers. Don't do that, because it'll slice meat off. The other thing it does, if you take it, and it has a metal point at the end, and you hit the window, it'll shatter it. It'll do the rear window, it'll do the front window, it'll do the side windows. The only thing it won't do is bulletproof glass. And if you're in a car with bulletproof glass, there has to be somebody else with you if you're that top secured. Now, water. A person can survive. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Thank you, sir.
I'm sorry. Okay. It's a multi-purpose tool. It has a hammer on the end and pliers, but halfway down it has a cutting tool that you can slice through a
Where do you get something like that?
Walmart. Any parts store?
Parts store.
Yeah, just multi-purpose tool. Even have a survival kit, you can pull it out, like a Rambo kit, has fishing line, you can get all that kind of stuff. Has a compass and everything. And also, place it within reach of the driver. Don't have it in the glove compartment. Don't have it in the back seat. Have it to where you can reach it. And you can strap it to your seat. And if you put it in a cubbyhole thing, and if your car's rolling or something happened, it could fly anywhere. Have it to where it is locked down to where you can still reach it with left hand or right hand within reaching. Sometimes in the cars, they have these pull-out doors on the bottom. And also, that's a good place to keep it. So, seatbelt can be jammed in these new EVs. EVs, electric vehicles. Oh, people don't buy them. Anyway, I won't go into that. But they're dangerous. We had a guy in Dillon's parking lot. You've seen these little small electric cars going around town. Well, he came in, and you know those concrete pylons near the, where you drive through for the, well, he hit one, 5 miles an hour. Totaled the thing. Well, of course, that's understandable. But he couldn't get out. Because when the EV shut down, his seatbelt shut down. And I had to break his window and use that tool to cut his seatbelt. And he was screaming because he got really scared, frenetic, and then his adrenaline was going. And then it was even worse. So in these seatbelts, also, I forgot, it helps your airbags to deflate them. Sometimes airbags do not deflate. They do not deflate. And you're sitting there going, you know, you can't breathe because it's choking to death. You got all this go power all over you. You can reach down that thing and boom, puncture that thing. So, but then don't breathe it. So, and now imagine you're in a wreck and your fuel tank is ruptured and your car is on fire or it's able to burst into flames. Now, this scenario happens thousands of times each year. Thousands. Now, this escape tool can save your life by doing all of the above. Now, you need to be able to do it quickly. That's why you need it within easy reach. Because you have a matter of time to getting out of there. Now, I'm not trying to scare people. It's kind of like placing the gun back here. You got 2 seconds. 1001, 1002. And if you don't have that up, you're dead. It's like on that tool, 1001, 1002, tool, cut your seatbelt, knock the window out. Because if your gas tank is ruptured, folks, that flames is going to hit you by the time you count to 1005 or less. Because it's spreading like wildfire. In our training scenario, sometimes we had Akron U and the Akron, Ohio Fire Department. We took an old car, filled the tank half full, punctured it, lit it, and I didn't even make it to 1003 before the thing blew up. So then I realized, well, Maybe I got to be faster than 1,002. I don't know. I was surprised because everything's plastic. I mean, that thing went just like a forest fire. It just went boom. I was shocked, but I'm not trying to scare you. And at night, park it in very lit areas. Anytime, anywhere. Traveling, park it in well-lit areas with moderate pedestrian traffic. And remember where you parked your car, please. If you got to wrap a red or white anchor piece around the door handle or someplace, remember where your car is, please. I've had 5 cases where the ladies didn't know where their car was and they disappeared. Please, use your peripheral vision. Where you park your car, it's in a well-lit area, it's in a safe area, near the front doors of where you're going, and there's so few pedestrians around. Please remember where it's at. Don't be wandering around the parking lot. Please. Now, when possible, I know this is funny, back your car into the parking space. Don't drive it in head first. If you can, like a Walmart, go through and have the car facing out. If you can't, find a space where you can do that. Because you can get away a heck of a lot faster than trying to put it in reverse and back up because they'll pin you in. When you're going forward and they pin you in, floor that sucker and ram them. It's a lot easier doing it in drive than it is in reverse, believe me. Because the momentum of the car has been built full force to go forward at its maximum peak. And you can move it and you'll draw attention. If your tires are squealing and burning rubber and you're trying to get that car out of your way, that's like yelling fire. Now, Rhoda and Charlotte, don't go into a parking lot and deliberately hit a car just to see if it works. Please don't do that. But it'll move a van. It'll even move a pickup. Even if you hit it in the middle, you will move it because you've got your foot to the pedal. And it's down, and it's making all kinds of noises. Remember that. And lock your car, please, when you leave it and when you enter it. Please lock it. A lot of carjackings happened today because a lady or some of the families at a stoplight, they didn't lock the car. And the guy will open this door and the other guy will open that door and you're in trouble because they forgot to lock the dumb car. Lock it, unless it's automatic. Lock it. And another thing helps with that.
We need to lock it anyway with our automatic because the automatic is delayed. So I lock it the minute I get here.
Good. Now remember your all-purpose tool within reach? Guess what end you can use a hitting the guy in the body? The one you break the window with. And you got holding it like this, and you whap him. Sometimes it'll penetrate him 2-3 inches. I go, praise the Lord. Because he'll knock him on his can. And if you hit him in the head, it might puncture, but that's okay. Because he didn't need to stick himself in there trying to take you or your kids. So the all-purpose tool is really an all-survival tool. So, and in Lindsberg, we had everybody in Lindsberg, when we had our hamburger place, I was always getting upset because they'd leave their keys in the car and they would leave the car running. And I'm going, people, this is not the 20s and 30s, folks. And one older guy, he went out and he comes back in and joins and said, my car's gone. What do you think? It was a college kid that took it. Keys in ignition, the car's running, and they found the car in the country. Luckily, it ran out of gas. But still, right? Oh, how many times have you people been at Dillon's or someplace, there's nobody in the car, but they're running the car because of air conditioning or heater, right? Now, how hard is it to break into a car when it's running? I had a guy, Peter Stevenson. I hired him as a cadet. He just got out of prison in Florida. Car theft. He came to Bethany College to play football. I think half the people on the team were jailbait. But anyway, so I got to know Peter, and I knew right away he was really knowledgeable. He told me one time when he was working for me, because I forgot my keys at home, and some of the other guys had some keys, and Peter looked at them, all four of them. I'll be back in 20 minutes. He came back, and in clay, he went to the art department. He came back with four keys identical to what he saw carrying on the keychain, and they worked. This is how proficient this guy was. He could take a little calculator. Oh, I didn't have to call. We had kids lock their keys in the car all the time. Oh, it was terrible. I'd call Peter. Hey, Peter, we got a Riviera over here with nothing but buttons. He said, no problem. He'd come with his little calculator. He'd have it open in 6 minutes. Oh, he was wonderful. I mean, he could do anything. He could start cars. Didn't have to hotwire them. I don't know how he did it. Had these little boom things started. I said, why can't you use this? So eventually after he graduated, he's now in Florida teaching police departments how you can do things. Has a wonderful job. But it keeps him off the street, keeps him out of prison. But that was Peter. Now, always. Who always carries a spare set of keys? How many times have you heard people lock their keys in the car? Right? Now, would you carry, does anybody ever carry a spare set of keys on themselves? Why not? Huh? And if you carry a spare set of keys on yourself, a lot of people put them in a little magnetic box. Don't do that. I mean, you always put it on the left side, left front fender, underneath, never fails. Or it's the front bumper, inside, never fails. But you always should carry an extra set of keys with you. Also, pardon?
You said, do carry one or don't?
Well, we have one, but sometimes Joanne has an extra one in her purse, yes.
Okay, there won't be a lock here. We're taking your car.
Purse and everything?
It's also in my purse, which is in the car.
I'll call Peter. Okay, what do you do if you break down? My question, what do?
Yell fire.
Hey, that's a good idea. You immediately call for help. Yell fire, that's pretty good. What else? What else should you do? But do you pull it off the road, or what do you do if you break down?
Call 1-800-18-DELCO. That's what they told me to jar on them.
Yeah. We carry AAA. And we've had really good luck because they'll tow it within 200 miles for free. And they'll bring out gas, they'll change your tire, they'll give you a new battery. And in our Volkswagen, my marine battery is under my driver's seat. So to change the battery, you got to take the seat out. Now, isn't that stupid engineering? And then I found out when I bought my old Buick, 05 Buick, the battery's underneath the back seat. I didn't know that. I thought it was usually up front. So I thought I'd charge this guy's car from my Buick. I open up the hood, no battery. I said, what am I going to do now? So I looked around. Of course, they had the negative, and they had the positive or whatever, and I thought. So I asked the guys at JAR, where's my battery? He said, well, in your back seat. So anyway. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Shopping safety. How many ladies shop? How many ladies go shopping? Now, getting back to driving real quick. How many of you pick up hitchhikers anymore? Good, that settles that one. What?
So on my particular car, I can go to the driver's side, and if my wife gets in, only that door is unlocked. Nobody can get in from the other side because I have the ability to have that door only open when it's unlocked.
Good.
Remotely.
That's a safety factor.
Ford has a setting.
That's a real safety factor. Just one. Boy, that's a big help.
So I have it set that it opens only the driver's door. If I'm on the passenger side, it'll open all of them if I open it.
So another person couldn't, hey, that's great.
Person, if I'm by myself, my wife is by herself in the car, and she gets on the driver's side door, that's the only one that unlocks. Nobody else can enter the car from another door.
That's good. That's really good. That's good. That's good to know. All our stuff is old. 04 and 05. Anyway.
Yeah. Scott's car has that.
Scott does? Yeah, they also have these cars when you pull up and stop, they shut down. We've had a friend that they've had to have it fixed 4 times. I don't know. I don't think it saves gas, but I don't know. Now, shopping safety. Should it come as no surprise that sometimes people forget about security when you go shopping? Do you think about security, or are you thinking about what you got to buy? You need to always keep a heightened awareness of where you're at. In front, to the side, and behind you, even in the store. Belden Village, which I worked with Republic Steel, we helped build because we had to drive the steel pylons down to bedrock because it was built in a swamp. When they got done, if you walked the whole inside, you'd walk 4 miles. That's how big it was. To our chagrin, when I was helping security, because I also helped security for the Football Hall of Fame, which I was in charge of, is the first year it opened, We had 68,000 women disappear each month. Each month. Because on a daily basis, you'd have sometimes twice, sometimes three times that many shopping there daily. It was an animal house. And Joanne remembers, because my mom and her and my sister would have antique shows set up there. And sometimes the crowd would be shoulder to shoulder. I mean, packed. Packed. What they would do, when it was like that, they'd walk up beside you, sodium pentothal, and you'd feel a prick. Within seconds, you're really drowsy. So you'd have one person on this side, and usually a female on the other side, or vice versa, and they'd be walking them out. Security would look at that and say, well, there's just so many people, they're just not feeling well. Now, back in those days, if we didn't find them within 48 hours, they were gone. Gone. Now it's even sooner. So people, this is not Akron, Ohio. This is McPherson, Kansas. But the movie out, which is a real eye awakening, and I'm happy they did produce it, it's getting people to think about trafficking. Not only is it children, folks, but it's your age. It's your age. I'm just trying to get your mind awakening. My uncle, who was a federal marshal, there's the federal marshal, then there's the U.S. federal marshal. He was 13 federal marshals that are appointed by the President of the United States only. That's the federal marshal. That's the guy. They raided a gang ring in San Francisco, California, and they were selling these videos at $50,000 a video, and they already had sold 300 of them. What these videos about, and I won't get into all the bad stuff, but had to do with what they did with young girls, older girls, on a video, and it wasn't pretty. But they already had sold 300 of them at $50,000 a pop. It happens. And Joanne knows, a lot of times I got involved and I get really upset because people don't realize, no matter where you're out, it's happening at a catastrophic level today. There is a person abducted for sex trafficking every 68 seconds. Understand? Every 68 seconds you have somebody that is taken for trafficking use only. Yes, between the ages of 7 and 18, but also 26% has to do with women that are 50 or older. So I'm just trying to tell you, be alert. And the churches need to be alert because it is a problem. Every day you hear the news. I can't say it enough. The first thing they hit is people who shop. Easy, because you're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. When you shop, take a friend or somebody with you. I know that's asking a lot, but please don't go by yourself. And when I was in charge of the varsity basketball girls at Bethany College for 3 years, I would not let them date unless they double date or triple date, and unless they brought the guy to me and I worked him over top to bottom. But they never ever went single dating. Never. Also, keep your purse tightly against your body and avoid carrying large purses. Please, folks. And walk confidently and don't talk to strangers. As elementary as I sound, openly talking to a stranger makes you an easy target. And I can't tell you enough. Please, unless someone's with you. Please. When dining, the same thing. We've had married women disappear when they went with their family. She went to the bathroom and never returned. If the bathroom is in eyesight, watch it. And when they say, I'm going to the bathroom, if it's out of sight, someone go with them. Please. Also, don't carry a large number of shopping bag or packages. That makes you a really good target. Also, never go into isolated areas or poorly lit corridors in the shopping building. A lot of restrooms are up front. Don't go to the ones in the back, please. Also, never leave your purse or wallet open while making a purchase. Please. If you take something out, close it. We'll get into that a little bit later. Also, I tell people, sunglasses, purses, briefcases, umbrellas, and jackets are now being used by predators to take pictures of your identification, your driver's license, your social security card, your credit cards can be easily photographed and duplicated within seconds by wireless transmission. They can come by your phone and within a few seconds have all the information on your phone into their phone. Easy. Turn the dumb things off. Please, you don't have to have them on. Also, predators are always on the hunt for people who make a large size purchase and or displayed large sums of money. And a predator may follow their intended victim to the parking lot or even to their home to relieve you of yourself or the items that you have purchased. But it usually is to relieve you of yourself. Also, one thing I tell Texas ladies, when you go shopping, a predator won't bother you if you carry an umbrella, especially if they're pointed at the end. Stick them. Okay? What else would be a good tool? A walking cane. Or, I think these walking sticks are beautiful. Oh my goodness. Just use one and you control that thing, you whap him across the head within seconds. Or just whap him alongside the body. Just hit him with all the power you got. They're wonderful. Or you can poke him. Poke him where it hurts, here. But mentally, keep your faculties around you at all times. Please, please. Someday when it's just the older folks, I'm an old folks, but I can tell you in stories where the person and how they got had. And you're so stupid. If somebody bumps into you or directs your attention towards something else, boom, mental faculties go into high security mode right then and there. No ifs, ands, or buts. Never go with anyone posing as a clerk or a store detective unless you know they're legit. A lot of people dress up as cops. They say, we got something wrong with your car, because you already know what car you are, what color it is, what make, and they'll tell you. Don't go with them. Do not. And that happens a lot. If a store requires you picking up the item you have purchased from an isolated area, it's like outside Dylan's parking lot, don't do that. You're sitting there waiting. How many times could people be had? You're just sitting there, cars running, doors are open. I wish these companies wouldn't do that. I like the ones up in Minnesota where you drive in a nice, a covered building, and the stuff is right there. And the clerk is right there. And there's a security guard right there. It's not out in the open. It's inside their building. They died to do that because the people parking out waiting to get their stuff are had. It's not an easy way to get your groceries. If you're in a bigger city, that first thing would be, oh man, you'd have predators everywhere. You'd be like candy. Before leaving the store to go to your car, keys aren't going to help you. But like the pastor said, he has the one that it's a monitor thing. You just push.
Yeah, there's no key.
Look around to see if the parking lot is so populated that you're not isolated. I used to have a 72442. And I used to park it way out in the boondocks in these. And every time I'd come out, where would all the cars be? Around my 442. I didn't want my doors banged. But I thought, well, that is a very secure thing. Well, that's being stupid. But as you approach your car, look around it. Look under it. If it's at night, have a little flashlight, key bob, and look under it. 60% of the people are had because the guy is under it. Boom, pull your feet out. It's all over with. Make sure no one is hiding or waiting for you, and look at the car next to yours. If someone's sitting in the car near enough to quickly jump out and grab you, if it's a van or a truck, is parked on the driver's side, go back to the store, get somebody to go with you back out to your car. Do not try to get in it, because I'm not saying this person is going to violate you, but a lot of times it happens. Also, before getting into your car, like I like what the pastor said, that someone isn't in the back seat where you can't see them. And then get into the car from the passenger side. What I'm saying is in the pastor's car, that's easy. But in my old car, sometimes I don't get in on the driver's side. I'll put all the stuff in the passenger side. Why? Because someone may be waiting for you to get in the driver's side. They never expect you to get on the passenger side and crawl across the seat. Remember that. Remember that. Also, if you carry any money, carry a second divisionary money that consists of a $20 bill on top and a bunch of paper underneath. I want you to think on that one. And so if someone should attempt to rob you, they take your divisionary money because you have your real money at home. Let them have it. $20 bill, maybe 10 fake pieces of paper. One lady told me she used Monopoly money and the guys actually thought it was money. Hey. Oh, whoa, it's 5 o'clock. I'm sorry. Yeah, it's getting late. We got to cover travel, vacation, and different things. Can we meet again?